bit of almond nuts.
Oh, I missus.
Congratulations.
Heard that about you.
Yeah.
I'm putting my last two almonds. I'm going to put my last two almonds in my mouth now.
Salty. At least they're not hairy.
No.
Ew.
Right. Are you ready for some intros?
Yes, please.
All right. See if we can do it first time right this time. All right. Here we go. Uh-huh.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 566. I was going to say 556. No, 566. It is the 16th of February, 2020. I am one of your hosts today, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. Joining me today, a lovely cast of people. Starting off with the most handsomest of handsome people ever. Glowing right now, Mark Wright. Mark, yeah, new look, yeah. Shaved it.
Yeah. Under pressure from Uncle Greggles and my wife, and both pestering me to have a new fresh look. So yeah, it's come off.
Okay, now for the record, I never pestered you to shave
you
off
did,
your beard.
You did because you were posting pictures of me of Bingo the dog, and it reminded you of me, and that sort of like made me think maybe.
It was merely just one of those funny things. Yeah. When my son's cartoon would come on, he would watch Bingo and Rolly, these two little puppy dogs that would play together. And Bingo happened to have he was gray dog. He had kind of like a little gray beard like look to him, and it just reminded me of you. I don't know why. So every time I'd see that dog come on, I'd think of Mark. Mm. And now I'm, every time I see Rolly, apparently I'll think of Mark.
Yeah,
just kidding. Yeah, all right. Mark. Yeah. Also on the show today, our calendar watching lovely lady Kim Woods. Kim, what's new with the calendar today? Are we still on?
Yeah, we're still on February. We still have football, Geralt, and Aaron and Karma. So, okay. Yeah, still February. So here we are, unfortunately. Wait, and on the topic of Mark and being Bingo, I always kind of thought tank top was Rolly. So there we go.
There we go. That
I
works.
Mean, it fits.
It does.
Know, he's blonde, and you know, so is Rolly. So it works.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway, carry on.
Hey, are we ready for this year to be done with already? I'm sick of 2020.
I'm just ready for it to be warmed up. I'm tired of this fucking cold bullshit.
I'm waiting for it to stop raining and be windy. We had another week of wind and rain, haven't we, Robin?
Yes.
Right.
Well, yeah, I guess we should introduce the last guest.
We probably should. He's been eating nuts.
So, yeah.
He has. His mouth full of nuts. Mr. Robin Chase.
As usual. Hi, everybody. It's been unbelievably stormy here. I think the English crew have got it even worse than we have, watching the photographs and video of people in their flooded homes and destroyed homes, and there's been some deaths. So tonight for us here, my internet, because again it's based on 4G, I have no fiber here, and when the weather gets really bad and the stormy conditions have an effect. So if I disappear, I'm sorry, Mark, it'll mess up your cameras, but I, if it comes really, really bad, I will come back in. And on audio only.
Yeah, no worries.
So, hello everybody. Robin Tate here at Bongo the Scene. I'm in Ballymena. Hello.
You even had some snow this week, didn't you? You posted a picture on WhatsApp with all the snow. We didn't have snow.
Yeah, just as I was leaving home, it was like blizzard. Wow, nightmare.
That sucks.
Yeah. But there you go. And here we are for show. Yeah. I'm not sick of 2020. There's so much good 2020 yet to come.
Well, there's hopefully a lot more good to come. I'm done with the bad part of 2020. Let's just put it that way.
Me too.
On the weather front, it's been rough out here as well. It's been like low 60s, sunny, and it's just not quite warm enough yet.
I hate you.
I hate you.
It has been one of the warmest Februarys on record. And the warmest starts of the year.
Rubbing it in.
Yeah, sorry. Anyway, all right. Hey, if you are tuning in for your first time and you're wondering who are these four crazy people and what are they going to talk about, we're going to talk about video games. That's what we do. We are a video game podcast. We also talk about life. So we try and keep it loose. We try and keep it fun. We broadcast every week on Sundays, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 3 p.m. out Kim's Way, Central Time. Mm-hmm. You can catch us on Twitch. You can catch us on Mixer. You can catch us on YouTube. So if you happen to be listening to this on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play, and you're thinking, gosh, I wish I could listen to these guys live. Well, there you go. You can. Absolutely. I want to give a big shout out to Pelosi's a Bitch. That's a new Twitch follower. Got to say a big shout out to that. We also want to.
Well done, Robin. Even I knew that would set up. At first, I saw the surname. I thought, oh, I wonder if someone's having a play on words for sandwich. I saw the first word. Yeah.
And I read it proper, just because I knew as well. But I think we can all all agree to that. Yeah.
Raise a glass to Nancy.
Raise a glass Nancy. To Nancy.
Yeah, but I don't have whiskey, and I think that's what she's into. So
you got small usually. Paper ready, Robin. Got small paper ready to tear up.
Anyway. Also, yeah, if we are looking for sponsorships, Coca-Cola Energy Drink, Zero Sugar Cherry.
Tennessee Brandy.
If you'd like to give us sponsor money, this tastes fantastic. And if you're going to hold the money back, it's okay.
Well, don't you fancy setting up a Patreon, Greg?
No, we're okay. This week's show is sponsored by Tenna, Man's Paper Underwear. Don't be too proud.
You said you weren't going to tell everyone we were wearing them.
Paper underwear. Available in different colors and different sizes. Yep.
All falls apart once you go to the bathroom. All right. Hey, happy birthday, Chris Williams from Boss Wave. This coming from a fellow asshole. I want to wish you a big happy birthday. I cannot believe he turns the magic 62 today. So, Chris, on Monday. We're foreshadowing. Tomorrow.
I have a thing for Chris. A thing for Chris. Chris.
Yeah.
Get you and your boys to get your finger out of your ass. Okay, I know you have babbies and all that now, but let's start recording some podcasts again, please.
Come on, yes, yeah. Come on, get back on it. Anyway, happy birthday, Chris. Also, foreshadowing another birthday, Pete Marshall, apparently celebrating 72 on Saturday, this upcoming Saturday. So congratulations to Pete Marshall. And for both of you, we want this lovely sounds to play.
Chris's birthday is tomorrow, isn't it?
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow! See, I can do that on demand. Do it live! All right. We are going to shift gears a little bit. Right as Kim decides she's going to walk away. And
she's doing an Arnie. I'll be back.
I'll be back. But we are going to go into a little story time, Mark.
Are we?
Yeah, we are.
Hooray, story time.
All right. Mark, why don't we start with you?
So a couple of key things this week for me. First one is I got a new gadget this week.
Ooh, let me get the video. Misses.
Does it vibrate?
Valentine's Day on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it actually came out on Valentine's Day.
And does it
But it doesn't vibrate, no.
Sure.
No,
I heard it's programmable.
I got a new toy. I got a new gadget, but they're asking if it vibrated because I got it at Valentine's Day. But no, it's the PS4 controller back button. If you're watching this live, you can see the box there. Look, and then
the G spot. That's what it's called, isn't it?
And there it is on the controller. Now, I'm always going on about my used to be my Elite controller till it failed miserably, and now I've got a Razer Wolverine controller with the back buttons. And I love the back buttons for the simple reason I hate clicking the stick sinks. I always fuck some up, walk off, wander off something, or miss aim. So now I've got back buttons on my PlayStation now, and I tried it this week on Horizon Zero Dawn, and it worked beautifully. It works really well. You can have three presets. There's a little OLED screen on the back. I don't want to switch control on because it'll fire up my PlayStation, but and it'll sound like a jumbo jet taking off. But yeah, really, really cool.
No, I think this is actually a nice addition, and to be perfectly honest, I you know, we always give Microsoft a lot of props for some of the hardware they've been coming out with of late. I think this is one of those times where Sony really deserves a nice round of clap, you know, for...
Yeah, a nice round of clap.
But the thing is, you see, as well, is it's normally retails at $39.99. It's already out in America. It came out later over here. But Game were having a pre-order special on it, an exclusivity, for $26.99. So I couldn't really pass that up. So Jenny says, oh, I'll get you for your birthday. My birthday's not well made, so it's technically an early birthday present. But yeah, really cool.
You know, it's funny because I think there's a lot of speculation that this could be a precursor to the new PlayStation 4 having back buttons built into it.
Yeah, I hope the new Xbox One does as well.
I don't think they will.
Yeah, because they want to sell the Elite too, don't they?
Right. And when the Elite is forward compatible, you never know. But I think they kind of already showed off the new controller, if I'm not mistaken, didn't they? So... I'm not anticipating that.
Well, I'm hoping that... I know the new controller's definitely got a share button on now, hasn't it? The Xbox One for your captures. So I'm hoping... Because my Razer Wolverine has got its own app on the Xbox Dash for doing my presets and programming the buttons. So I'm hoping that on the next consoles, they'll update the app to allow me to program one of the buttons to the share button. I'm sure they will. Right. So that saved me from having to buy an Elite 2. I really like the Wolverine. It's wired, though. That's the only downside.
So here's the... And this will actually tie into news later on, for the record. But my speculation on the whole PlayStation 5 controller thing is it could very well, because I think we've seen some patents that indicated that there was a patent for doing that kind of thing on a PlayStation DualShock. I don't know that they do it. I wonder if they were testing the market to see if this would be viable and it would be forward compatible. Because I think that might be the smarter play for Sony, is just to keep this as an add-on and sell it. And kind of it converts the DualShock into an Elite. And it does it, you know, reasonably priced. But I mean...
It's a good price compared to like the Elite controllers.
Well, I mean, but yeah, if you added a, you know, I think the thing is, if you had it all integrated, what would that controller cost? What would the controller look like? So I guess that's the big question.
Of PlayStation costs, that's a bit foreshadowing for the new one. Exactly.
Segway
time.
All right, what's this lock and key?
Right, okay. A new series has been out on Netflix this past week called Lock and Key. I don't know if you guys have heard of it or seen it.
There's a graphic novel.
It's based on a graphic novel. I've watched all of it in 1 week. Me and Jenny's been right into it. It's really cool. It's about this family called the Locke family, and the family home is called Key House, and it's all linked in that. And there's some magical keys which do certain things, and it's really cool. Special effects are really good. Pretty decent storyline. Some of it's a bit hard to follow at times, but it all unravels at the end. And they've left it wide open for season 2, so I really hope they greenlight season 2. No, it's not scary, Nerd Allegiance. It's more kiddie friendly because it's based on like a couple of teenagers and a young lad.
Stranger Things.
Yeah, that sort of thing. But yeah, really cool. Really enjoyed it. So yeah, highly recommend it. Netflix is really, really doing well at the moment for me. I'm watching a lot of Netflix.
You know, Netflix has a lot of good content that they're creating, and then they have a lot of, it's like they have A-tier content and B-tier content. And for a while, for whatever reason, I seem to have run into all of the B-tier content where I honestly was considering canceling Netflix for a little bit. I was like, but I've stuck it out. I'm good with it.
Yeah.
It's just like Amazon Prime, though. There's some hit and miss stuff. Yeah. Some stuff's better than others.
The thing what pees me off about Amazon Prime is sometimes you'll, like, Marvel's Runaways, season one, watch season one, went to season two, you've got to buy it for £20. It's still on Prime, but you have to pay for it. So they should separate the paid stuff from the subscription stuff, in my view.
Well, they do. They do. In that, you know, you can go and find what's included with Amazon Prime.
But it's not. Yeah, but like that one I've watched, when you go, you'll say, "Oh, do you want to watch season two now?" "Oh, yeah, sure, yeah." But then it wants money. But
I wonder if that's a ramification of Disney Plus.
Well, I was just going to say, Disney Plus finally comes to the UK in March. 15th of March,
right.
I pay for Amazon Prime and Netflix, and my mum piggybacks on mine because you can have so many users. So she's paying for.
Well, do you pay for Amazon Prime for the TV, or do you pay for the Amazon Prime delivery service?
A bit of both.
Because that's the way I look at it. I paid for the Amazon Prime delivery service before Amazon Prime TV was a thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah, me
to
too.
Me, I see it just as a bonus.
But Amazon Prime used to be cheaper. When it was just a delivery service.
True.
It used to be 40 quid.
It's still good value. All of the videos that I buy, my digital content now, I have it on Amazon.
Right, yeah.
And the reason behind that for me is Apple, which I do own some stuff, and I did years ago, but you need to have a hell of a lot of beefier connection with Apple.
Right, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's and if you were to rate them, Netflix will run on a piece of string connected to the phone line. So whatever connection they have or their server farms, then Amazon for me, and then Apple and Sky would be the hardest eaters of bandwidth for me here. So okay, sorry.
So my mum's gonna pay for the Disney Plus subscription, and pretty obviously good. Shared it, so she's paying for that and I'll pay for the other two, so it's a bit of a compromise, so I'm quite happy with that. Was going to watch The Mandalorian via certain other methods, but I'm going to wait now and watch it in proper HD streaming in March.
Wow.
I want to see Baby Yoda.
I've watched three episodes of it through other means with my son.
I purposely held off subscribing. I wanted to make sure the full season was done first, and then I'm going to... So I have the trial still to go, so I'm going to trial. I'll watch it. I'll likely end up subscribing to Disney Plus as long
as it's not...
It's
quite cheap over here. It's cheaper than the others.
Yeah, it is here as well.
Yeah, and that's Netflix went up recently. Netflix, for the 4K, 4-user one, the top tier one, what I'm on, it's $11.99 now. It used to be $8.99 at one time.
Yeah, well,
yeah, Disney Plus is only £6.
Disney Plus, it's an add-on right now. It's not going to replace Netflix. It's not going to replace Amazon Prime.
No.
So they can't charge. Even though they have a big library, they can't replace. Because they just don't have the new content coming out enough. However, it looks like they are really ramping up fast to put out a lot of new content. A whole bunch of Marvel stuff is coming. And so I think there's going to come a point in time where we suddenly look at this and we're like, oh, no, Disney Plus actually, it could be its own thing.
Yeah.
And I wonder I think they do. Do they bundle Hulu and ESPN?
No, we don't have Hulu. We don't have Hulu.
A lot of the Hulu programs, like Handmaid's Tale and that, they're on different various networks.
Star Trek Discovery is on Hulu.
Well, that's on Netflix for us.
Netflix.
Yeah. It's not on Netflix for us.
Picard is on Amazon.
I've not seen this week's yet.
Anyway. All right.
I'm loving Picard. In fact, just sidetracking again, because I've started watching Picard, guess what's on Netflix now? The whole... lot of Next Generation, and I've just started watching them all again. I've just watched the first.
Very good.
I've just watched the Farpoint one, the sort of like the pilot. Good, man, so good. Yeah. Patrick Stewart looks so young there.
All right, Kim. Let's talk. You've had a pretty rough week.
Yeah, well, it didn't start out bad, and Valentine's Day kind of sucked, but you know, it is what it is. So. let's just hope the rest of the month goes off better than the, you know, last week did. Mm. Yeah. Well, other than I have to start work early tomorrow at like 5:30 in the morning, so I guess that's not so good. But yeah, what are you gonna do?
So sorry, was Valentine's Day the day Pussycat left?
Yeah. Yeah, yes. That okay. was the day I had to take my cat to the vet and have it put down. Okay. So yeah, yeah. Okay. So you know, on top of the fact, here it is Valentine's Day, and you know it is what it is. And then on top of that, I have to take my cat to the vet and you know get the long chase from the vet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. So you know, the Valentine's Day sucked, but you know she's in a better place now, and I don't have to worry about her and her kidneys and all that. So onwards and upwards, as they say. So here we are.
We'll turn the page. Yeah. We'll look at Geralt in a football uniform and
there we go. I'll play some more Witcher 3 and you know.
All right.
You know. So yeah, what the hell? I mean, like I said, it was a bad deal, but shit, I've had her 11 years, and I'd like to think it was a good 11 years. So I mean, she didn't hate me by the end of the day. So.
No, I think it was quite the contrary. She did not hate you. Yeah. So that's yes. Anyway, well, look, it is a new day, a new week. We move on. I hate Valentine's Day just as much as everybody else.
I know. I hate it.
You know,
I'm happy for people that celebrate it, but when you have to flip up social media and there's everybody going, oh, I got my flowers and my roses and this, that, and the other, and I'm just sitting here in Hermitville going, you know what I got on Valentine's Day, you know, so.
No.
You know.
That's one of those ones I was going to ask you. Apart from Kat, did you get anything or anyone?
I got nothing.
Would you like Mark to send his toy that vibrates?
Okay, everybody. Look, if Kim didn't get a Valentine's,
it means that.
Please.
No vibrators. No vibrators.
Send her a nice little Valentine's message. Please, no. Yeah, okay. No dick pics. Just a nice
message. No, yes.
None of those.
Hey, if it makes you feel any better.
Guy ever contact you again? Or has he gone?
No, I blocked him. Yeah. He's gone. So, no, I got rid after posting all that in WhatsApp, and you guys are like, no, he needs to go. I'm like, okay, he's gone. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all are like my other set of brothers. So, you know, when you're like, you know, he needs to go, then, you know, he's
gone. Sort of might.
I mean, look, if it was measurable, then that's one thing, you know. Maybe you stick to me, you keep him around. But, yeah. All right, look, so here's the deal. I got in trouble on Valentine's Day.
Do tell.
So yeah. So normally, we have kind of a standing rule that we don't do anything for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, we've had that for a long time.
and we also have had kind of other like holidays, like Christmas, that kind of thing, where we're like, you know what, we're not going to exchange cards. We'll exchange gifts, but we're not going to do cards, that kind of thing. But then every once in a while. Like Cindy in the past had gotten me a card and I had forgotten. And so I think that's kind of what led us to going down this path of we're just not going to do anything. And so this Valentine's Day, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get her a couple cards, one from Colin, a couple from me. And you know, we'll do cards, nothing else. I'm not going to go crazy because I am a firm believer that Valentine's Day is just a Hallmark holiday.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, it is not an actual holiday. It's just a guilt day. Mm-hmm. That said, Cindy the night before says, so did we remember to not get cards? And I'm like, well, you may have one or two. And she's like, really? She's like, so basically now I'm going to feel like an asshole. And so needless to say, I will not be getting Valentine's Day cards ever again.
Really? Okay. Really? I'm going to tell you now, Judith is bloody pathetic. Christmas cards, birthday cards, Valentine's, anything. Robin, you died. She wouldn't even send me a friggin' sympathy card for my own funeral. She is bloody pathetic. And every year, I always do the things. I always get the birthday cards and the Valentine's card. And the dozen roses and the bits and pieces. So I had to leave the house very, very early on Friday morning. And on the kitchen tea, I went out into the car at nighttime and brought the flowers in and set it on the kitchen bench because I left before everybody was up. And of course, about 10 o'clock, I get the phone call. I thought we weren't going to spend any money.
I know.
I'm grateful.
It's just a nice thing.
But then if you didn't get anything, she'd be like, When you got me out? When you got me out?
Exactly. You can't win.
No.
You just can't. You can't.
She didn't get anything for Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. So, Valentine's Day.
I didn't say she didn't get me anything for Valentine's Day.
Oh, no. She probably got you something.
No, she got me nothing. I'm fucking making that up. That's been a long time since that happened.
I hear you. Yeah.
Okay.
I also gave my wife the flu for Valentine's Day. That was my other gift.
Yeah, well, that's a good segue because I've been wiping a puke for days now.
Yes.
Little baby who is leaving on the 5th of March, little Jazz, she got a Valentine's Day card from her new dad. That was lovely and sweet. Oh, lovely little card. Yeah. It was a nice message in it. And they come to meet her. They come to meet her next Friday for the first time. She's been a sick puppy. She's actually today has been pretty good. The last few days she's been vomiting and puking and diarrheaing, and it's been just bloody awful, poor little thing. But what the hell, you know? This year has been really bad for the flu, and even worse so with this corona thing that's going on right now. So there you are. I got to say, in the screen in the corner, I apologize. I had to stop myself shouting boogity, boogity, boogity. We are about five laps or six laps into the first NASCAR race of the season, the Daytona 500. And I have to admit, I seen the coolest thing ever about half an hour ago. And this has nothing to do with me.
Was this at the start of the race?
Before the start.
Before the start. Was this buzzing the tower?
Yes.
Yeah,
Air Force One. I don't care. This is not a Trump thing, but I just think this was the coolest thing ever. Trump came to the start of the Daytona 500 to say, gentlemen, start your engines. But he flew over. He didn't fly it. He was a passenger. Air Force One flew over the Daytona Speedway in a low pass like Top Gun. Absolutely superb and fantastic. Drove the car, the limos, the beast. They got driven onto the track, and they done a tour with the NASCAR cars as well. The only thing that was missing was a number 45 on the side of the beast. Would have been pretty cool.
That would have been pretty cool.
So again, the internet is going bananas right now, saying impeach him. This is a misuse of government property.
Boy,
would you? Get a life, you liberal numpties. Anyway, I just thought it was really, really cool. I'm sitting watching you guys doing America. You do it really well. Mark,
we try.
You'll appreciate this.
Yeah.
You know, when you watch the start of this, I mean, there's over 200,000 people at this thing. They sing a song with a school choir. Then the girl from the Navy sings a national anthem. The jets overhead. They all have their hands over their heart. They're being patriotic. It's fantastic. You know what? People in America, if you complain about your country, something wrong with you. You're one of the only countries in the world that you are proud of your country. Forget all the other stuff around there. It's lovely to see it. In the UK, if you cheer around the Union Jack, people think it's a bit, And now it's getting better now, but for years and years, it was a really nasty thing. I just love how patriotic you are. It's one of the only countries in the world that... We're British or English or Welsh or whatever it is. But Americans are from all over the world. All these immigrants that have came together, they're American, Italians, American, whatever. And it's just lovely that they forget that and they come together as Americans. I think it's these big sporting events you have over there. It's just heartwarming. So I love it. Daytona,
Fox News have put it up already. They fly past and now I've got them all doing the national anthem.
Definitely the next time I'm in Florida, the last time was there was nothing on, but even if there's nothing on, I'm going to go up to Daytona just to suck it up there. Now I was in many, many moons ago at another NASCAR track. Charlotte.
Okay.
And the internet company I worked with years and years ago, we went to meet the NASCAR teams. This is before I had really any interest. So we went to Charlotte Raceway. We met some NASCAR teams to talk about their IT setups and stuff like that there. That's when they were using, like, I don't know, the first ever Apple. There wasn't a lot of internet about. But yeah, I must go. Just to see Daytona. Anyway, that's me. So Valentine's Day. Oh, yeah.
F1, like comparing F1 and NASCAR. They are very different beasts, obviously. You know, there's the joke about the, you know, no right turns.
Turn left.
Yeah.
Right? left turn. But I think from an audio perspective, NASCAR races are just incredibly loud.
220 miles an hour. Yeah. And the trust, I guess Formula One guys, the trust is there. But right now, I'm watching 40 cars bumper to bumper doing over 200 miles per hour. The trust between those guys is phenomenal. And at the beginning, the first opening, maybe 10, where are we in it? Lap 13? The first 10 laps or so, when they're all side by side at 200 miles an hour, it's just crazy. And the lovely thing about it is, because they're kind of equally matched, the guy that starts in 40th position today actually has a chance of winning a race. Because, and more so than Formula One, even though the cars are supposed to be equal, not so much.
You pay for the subscription then, Robin? Because
I did just today.
All right, let's say on YouTube, the official NASCAR YouTube channel is streaming it live inside Jimmy Johnson's car.
All right. Nice. Okay. Well, I'm watching the NASCAR, whatever it is. There's an app, but it has lots of good stats and stuff. And it's a bit like the NFL one as well, which I pay ridiculous money for too.
What, you forgot to cancel? Anyway.
Yes. Anyway. Anyway. And it's lovely just watching the start of the race when where Formula One is very closed off. Watching the general public are walking around the cars at the beginning of the race, where the driver is there with his wife or girlfriend or partner, and their kids are standing beside them as the national anthem goes on. That just doesn't happen in Formula One, so it's lovely. And a lot of American sports seem to be quite like that. So family events,
They are family events. They are indeed.
Yeah. Anyway,
all right. I think that kind of covers everything. I mean, my work week was hectic. Every day I wanted to try and play some PUBG with Mark or the guys, and it was like every day it was like, nope, next thing I know, it's basically the end of the day. And then, of course, I got sick, but that sucked. So I had the flu earlier this week, and I, of course, passed it on to my wife and my son. So they've had it for the past 3 days.
That's what you get for not getting your Valentine's card.
Exactly. The good news is it seems to be going quick. It's had a short life cycle. I just have the nagging cough now. I'm over like feeling sick. So there's that. Next week we start construction on the kitchen. Although it's preliminary stuff, so it's not the big demo day. That's going to be 2 weeks out from now. And that is going to be a nightmare. Because it's right outside my door for my office, and I work from home. So I likely will have to take a few days where I'm going to like just go park at Starbucks and work from Starbucks. Or maybe Pete's. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
McDonald's works.
McDonald's too. Yeah. My fear of going to McDonald's is I will eat a lot of French fries.
Do a podcast?
Yeah, right.
Or a podcast, yeah. Anyway,
I'm still actually, funny enough, I'm really still enjoying, it's not that big a book, but just so busy around here, it's hard to get quiet time. So Glenn's away this weekend, and while Jasmine was in bed and Judith and the kids, other kids were out at church this morning, I started to continue to read a bit more of Chick-fil-A, your man, the owner of it.
The Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
they're an interesting company.
Really good. It's a really, really good read, and very, very... very interesting how they run that company. Yeah.
Well, they run that company like a family. And they stick to some very, quote unquote, traditional family values that are, I think, very old school family values. Like, don't open on Sunday.
Sundays.
That's the crazy one. They don't open on Sundays. Yeah, they would kill if they were open on Sundays because everybody and their mother loves going to Chick-fil-A on the weekend. But
I understand it. It's all right. You know, it's all right because they
I'm okay with it until I want to go to
the want one? Yeah. When you're on holidays and Sunday is not a day anymore and you're over there going, what? It's because they only have one franchisee. You're only allowed to own one store. So you can't own multiple. They have 1,000-odd ones in America, more than that now. But you have one. So the owner can earn, in a really busy store, $300,000, $400,000 a year. But they have to be on-site. you know, right. customer facing, focused, and that's why they say, like, you know, not 7 days a week. We want you to spend time with your family, and those are things that we've forgotten. Those sorts of traditional values, yeah. and I'm all for that. So.
I am
get
too.
So fucking conservative in my old age. Jeez.
speaking of books, Robin, you had suggested the book Crash Dive to me, a book series, Crash Dive.
Yeah, yeah. I've been to the first book. Yep.
It is so on Audible, they had the entire book series was available.
Good value, yeah.
In what, for several reasons, Kim, I saw your fan rotating up in the ceiling. And I'm like, wait, did I turn my fan back on? Anyway. so Crash Dive, the entire book series, it's a collection of, I think, 5 books, all for 1 credit price. So you can pick it up super cheap and get literally, I think, 40-plus hours of audiobook. It's a lot. But it's following basically the career of a submariner during World War II, in the U.S. Navy. And, it's a pretty amazing collection of stories. Yeah. What I'm having a hard time, and I haven't looked this up. So Robin, maybe, you know, I'm assuming these are fictional tales.
Yeah. Timelines are correct.
Battles are correct.
They're all fictional characters,
okay.
But the timeline is correct. Like in the first book, they go up into the Guadalcanal. Guadalcanal. That was real. And, you know, right. that base is correct. But no, they are fictional characters, but based around real time battles and stuff like that. There, so yeah.
But either way, you get and I think it took a little while for me to kind of get into it. Mm. But once you get in about halfway into that first book. Once they start getting into the intensity of the submarine battles, I've just been captivated, like just like on the edge, like listening to it, just being like, okay, you know, because you, I never realized how vulnerable submarines
basic.
Were. Yeah. And basic as well. Yeah.
Well, cause I always thought, yeah, like you're right. So we're talking about a submarine book here, and this is World War II. So these are pretty, the first book is about submarines that were at the end of World War I-ish, you know, in between the World War I and World War II. So they were very basic. But I always had it in my head that they fired their torpedoes from, you know,
way below.
But these things, generally, they sailed on top of the water until they seen someone, and then they ducked down.
Right.
Kind of be it. Because their batteries were crap, and their batteries only moved them along at something like 5 or 4 miles per hour on battery underwater. And they couldn't run, the basic ones couldn't run the diesel engines. And just it sounded unbelievable. You know, those first ones had no air conditioning, so people stank to high heaven, and they were pretty much walked around on the subs in their underwear because it was so hot and stinky and smelly and, you know, just... Wow, I mean, unbelievable. Well,
and the other things like the depth charges, like, you know, in my head.
Yeah, heard the noise.
I always thought, okay, depth charges, how effective could they really be? You know, you're floating over a ship and you're dropping bombs into the water. It's like dropping firecrackers into the water. You know, how damaging could that really be? The realities are...
It's the pressure, isn't it?
It's the vibration. The depth charge, how close it was in proximity to the submarine could be devastating. Mm-hmm. It's a great book series. So
we'll bring that up. I know we're chatting about nothing but games at the moment. So it's called Crash Dive. It's by an author called Craig DeLuey. He is kind of famous, but this is one of his first batches of books. Highly recommended. There's a whole series of them. What dragged me to it was the guy who narrates them is R.C. Bray, who just seemed to be one of my favorite guys for that.
He's a very talented voice narrator because he does he is able to basically create a lot of different personalities with different voices. One of the captains in the book series is from Louisiana, and he captures that Louisiana southern kind of draw perfect. And anyway, very entertaining.
So if you imagine...
Yes, Kim.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're talking about audiobooks, and I don't want to forget. If Roger Clark is the guy that does the voice of Arthur Morgan on Red Dead 2, and he actually has an audiobook out now. So if you're wanting, and it's a Western. So if you're wanting a little more kind of Red Dead sort of Arthur Morgan to thing go on, you need to look for The Way of the Lawless by Max Brand. That is, like I said, it's read by Roger Clark. So it's not on Audible, but if you go on his Twitter, you can find it. So it's really yep, and it's really good. I've listened to part of it. He's got a little sample of it out, and I've listened to part of it. And it really does. It like takes you back to like Red Dead and Arthur Morgan and the whole. It's really neat. So anyway.
And the last thing I'll mention as we're talking about all this other stuff, just so we get our sponsorship in.
Right.
So because we need money to run the podcast, you know. The Cold War, What We Saw.
Yes.
It's free. It's on Netflix or wherever you get your podcast from. This guy done a fantastic thing about the Apollo series. This is about the Cold War, the Berlin Wall, the Berlin Airlift, nuclear Cuban missile crisis, all of that from the point of view of Joe Bloggs, not as a general or anything like that there, but as looking at the people who suffered from it, like the Russian people, the ones at the top making all these decisions were fine, but how many, you know, there was far more Russians killed after the war by themselves, by the Russians, than there was in the war. It was just terrifying. Yeah. But really, really interesting, very well done, and get it on Netflix. It's called The Cold War, What We Saw, and that'll bring into the Apollo ones as well. So yeah, that's the last, if you're listening stuff. And by the way, Batch, you're young and looks fantastic. Thank you for the photograph. Congratulations. Lovely smiley face there with your I don't know if you want me to bring it up or not. I won't show your child on the show, but I think it's he or she. You haven't defined. Sorry, I don't know. But lovely as babies are. So,
he called him a cheeky fella. So fella. I'm sure he's really talking about a little kiddie there. So
either way, congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations. It's lovely.
Indeed.
Yes. All right. Let us shift gears. Now we can actually talk about video games.
Yeah. Sure.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right. So game time. Before we kick into talking about games proper, Kim, I think it's only fair that we talk about all of the free games that we are paying for.
Oh, okay. I will get right on that. Your Games with Gold for February is TT Isle of Man, which is available now through the end of the month. One that just became available, which is Call of Cthulhu, which is available now through the 15th of March.
I've just downloaded
Star Wars. Yeah. I did too this morning. Star Wars Battlefront is available now through the 29th. And as Mark said before, that's the first one or original one.
OG Xbox one, yeah.
There we go. Then for your PlayStation Plus for the month, we have BioShock the Collection, which is available now through March 3rd. The Fantastic. Sims 4. Firewall Zero Hour, which is a VR game. For your Twitch Prime games for the month, we have Narcos, Rise of the Cartels, American Fugitive, Desert Child Baby. We're on the talking about babies, and I guess babies are everywhere. Steridan and White Knight. And then for your Stadia Pro, we have Metro Exodus.
Nice.
Yep.
All right. So those are the games that are free that you pay for.
Exactly.
Potentially. Robin, did we cancel? Are we still on Stadia Pro? What's the deal? Do you still subscribe?
I don't cancel stuff. It's still there.
You don't cancel stuff. All right.
I need to check on mine and cancel mine. I don't know, my 3 months are up yet.
I did grab the freebies, the whatever the freebies were. Oh, yeah, Metro Exodus and Guild. Metro Exodus is on Game Pass, is that correct? No?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, damn it. Yeah, it's there. Yeah, so Guild is the only thing that really isn't probably on PC.
Now, A public service announcement for Stadia Pro users. These free games, the games that you have purchased, you cannot play them without your subscription.
Yes.
So just remember that. So it's, you know, you do need that subscription to be able to play them regardless of you purchased them or not. Just worth noting. I really hope at some point Google figures out a way to allow you to download these games and have an offline mode. I know it defeats the purpose in one sense.
Yeah, shut up.
Fuck off.
Shut up. Shut up. Really? No. It's the future, man.
No,
Steam
it's not.
Is the future.
It's not. It is. No.
It is.
We thought the same thing about Discord, and look how that turned out.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, exactly.
I think there needs to be a happy medium.
I'm a happy medium.
No, you're not.
Sorry.
Well,
maybe not anymore. Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
Not an extra large, but I'm not a happy medium. Although I'd like to be a happy medium again.
So here's a funny thing. Just total sidetrack. Sorry, okay. Everybody.
No.
I noticed, so when I went over to the UK, I bought t-shirts over in the UK. I usually buy an extra large t-shirt.
Yeah.
UK extra large is the equivalent of large in America.
Yeah.
It's actually too small. I was shocked by that. Yeah, it was a funny moment. I was like, huh, you guys run a little small.
Rather big people make you feel good.
Anyway, all right, okay, games. Let's go. Yes. Kim.
Oh, God, it's raining. It's bucketing in Florida. They've stopped the race.
It happens. Tropical thunder.
Yes.
Wow.
Kim.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Good film.
Witcher 3, you are continuing on.
I am.
How close
I don't know. I did finally go to Skellige. I am over there now. Yeah. So, and let me tell you, that place is kind of a bitch to get around. Because, I mean, it's all islands.
Yeah.
I had a mission earlier where I had to go find some brothers with a bounty hunter. Who's funny, because his name was Jango Fett.
Nah.
Yeah, I laughed at that one. I'm like, aha, that one, I get that one, you know. But anyway, I had to go find these brothers, and it looked like they were on a beach, like on this island that I was already on. I thought, okay, I'll just ride over to it. No big deal. So I got on Roach, and away we went. Mountain range. I got hit by a fucking mountain range, and I'm like, okay, well, this isn't going to work. So then I traveled back. I had to swim to it. Or I guess I could have went by boat. But apparently they were in a cave underneath the island. So, yeah, that was...
Oh. Kim just... there you are. Okay. You went a little quiet. You got a little Skypey for a moment.
Well, you know, my internet is still being run by methed up squirrels, so it's possible. But anyway, we did that mission. Like I said, I'm still plugging along. I'm trying to do some other missions that were earlier in the game that I couldn't do, and I'm finding out that I'm apparently too high up to do them now because they're giving me one XP.
One XP. Yeah,
they're not worth doing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
here it is. You know, they're giving me one XP, but the monsters and stuff on this island.
Yeah.
They're that scary. They're frozen. It's still.
I know. So I'm just gonna. I don't even know what to say. To this
Kim's
just
great, still.
Stuck there. That's the worst. So one of my big pet peeves, by the way, and Kim brought it up in The Witcher 3, but I've noticed it in like Ghost Recon Breakpoint as well, and that is the map. When you have, you know, an objective that is underground, you know, in some kind of hidden cavern or whatever. And so it looks like, you know, the icon gets placed on, you know, the regular island. You know, you think you can just go to it. And then when you get to it, you're like walking over where the icon is. You're like, where's the objective? And it's like below you in a secret cave entrance. And the secret cave entrance is actually completely the other, you know, like 1,000 yards away type thing. It just irritates. That's all I can say. We lost Kim officially now. Just gone.
Yep. She's putting the WhatsApp chat computer blue screened.
Computer failure. Yes. All
computers.
Right. Well, I guess we just move on. We will bring her back in when she comes back up and running. In the meantime, why don't we turn to Robin?
Yeah. Turn to me. Turn to me. I want to talk about which one? I want to talk about bananas. Can I talk about bananas, Mark? Let's talk about my friend Pedro.
Banana. Yep.
My friend Pedro is kind of cool. It's on Game Pass, but I have sort of had my eye on it because it's kind of very weird. The logo for it is a banana. Banana. And it doesn't have anything really to do with bananas apart from a little banana that talks to you. And that seems like reality to me.
Do you talk to your bananas often?
Okay. I talk to my banana a lot. I try to eat my banana, but I can't bend that far any longer. I'm not that flexible. I used to be many, many moons ago. Anyway, my friend Pedro is by Dead Toast and Devolver. It's in the Devolver School there, the publisher. Now, you remember a game way back in that on the Arcade of Fun, the Summer of Arcade, fabulous. Yes. And there was a game called Shadow Complex. Okay. Yes. So that was a really good sort of 2D adventure-y, shooty, and that style of jumping and shooting. Okay, so imagine Shadow Complex, and the guys are slightly bigger, the characters are bigger, and then mix some Matrix in with it, okay? And some sort of right, from left to right, motor car racing, but also as well as the Shadow Complex type fighting as well, okay? And you do the spin stuff like Matrix. You spin to dodge bullets. You shoot people. You jump through lifts. Just, it's pretty damn fabulous. It has this fantastic ability to make you feel like a badass. Mm. It's really, really good. It can be score-based and time-based. And there's lots of, like, you can kick a basketball to hit a baddie in the head and then shoot him in the neck. And it's very fast. There's a fantastic soundtrack into it. And it's almost free because it's Game Pass. Really, really. So if you've got Game Pass, that odd thing, that logo with the banana, which really has not, doesn't look like anything to do with a shooty, shooty, bang, bang game, it's there. Now, Mr. Miyagi out in Australia, he finished this and loved it.
Yeah, a lot of people I've been seeing are loving this. I've got it on stream now. It does look Shadow Complex-y really well. It looks really,
really
cool.
Really good.
I'm definitely going to have to check it out. I think I avoided it because of the banana. Now, maybe I will give it a shot.
Yeah, John Wick banana.
In fact, nice.
Yeah, John Wick. Somebody's in the chat there. Just, it's funny. I sent you something earlier on this week. Sorry, that just reminds me about John Wick. So another book we're reading. Yeah, which is the Expeditionary Force. And there's about nine. There's book nine now. So there's this crazy robot AI. And he's like a beer can, and he's like unbelievably clever. Anyway, the bit I was driving along to this week, I was listening along to the book, and the conversation with this, it made me laugh a lot. So the conversation goes, "I know it's crazy, Joe." This is the AI speaking. "I know it's crazy, Joe, but it might just work." Again, they have this impossible space situation battle to get sorted. Okay. "I know it's crazy, Joe, but it might just work. What is it? How do we kill the Maxalts?" "I can't tell you, Joe. It's just far too crazy. For goodness sake, Skippy, tell me. Get the Max Salts to kill John Wick's dog." Sorry. I just that tickled me.
You don't
that
kill his dog.
Me. It tickled me how on point it was. Anyway, so My Friend Pedro is a really, really good game. PC, whatever. I'm sure it's available on that. Sony thing as well. So good.
We'll say sayonara to that. Anything else, Robin?
Sayonara is an arcade game. Very good. It's an arcade game on the Apple Store.
Right.
And it's on your phones, your iPads. The Apple Store thing is pretty good. Some really good quality games there, which aren't like press this to earn money or if you want to unlock stuff. So there's nothing to unlock. There's no pay to win. You don't have to buy extra credits to get the things thing. So it's your fiver a month. Excuse me. Anyway, another game that this one is like, and Mark, this will tickle your fancy.
Right.
This is a music-based action game. And it reminds me immediately of Arrow.
Oh, right. I'm gonna have to try this. Okay. I love Arrow.
It's by a company called Annapurna. They're out in Sweden. And it's like Arrow by Madfellow Games. Really, I mean, that's a quality game. Arrow's,
She's riding on a playing card, isn't she?
Yeah. So it's what's the lovely girl with the long hair in the Xbox 360 and PS4 games? Bayonetta. So imagine so our character is a Bayonetta style character. There is a loose story around it, and she has to battle, and she battles on the road, Arrow style. So jumping from track to track, like Arrow was on the rail, to pick up hearts and strength and shooting and bits and pieces. So yeah, simple little game. If you're on the iOS's and you want to try Apple Arcade, you get your free month out of it. I would definitely recommend
Sayonara.
That game. Sayonara. Right.
Hey, speaking of Apple Arcade stuff, there's something else that came to Apple this week. xCloud. xCloud streaming. Didn't I believe I both that. Of you guys tried this out?
Excuse me. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I forgot all about that. Yeah, Major Nelson tweeted out that they are now doing early preview for insiders to go on xCloud for iOS. And right. I put my name in on the website, and I got an email within a few hours. It gives you a test flight app link, and you put the code in there, and it downloads the app on iOS. I've not tried it yet because I've not linked my controller to my phone yet, but the actual app itself works fine and everything. So I've not tried a game yet, but I think Phil has, and Phil said it worked. It were a bit laggy playing multiplayer, but the actual game worked. So interesting.
Robin, did you try it out?
I didn't get any love from Microsoft.
Poor you. Poor you. It'll happen. So, it'll come to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the interesting thing that I did hear is apparently they only have Master Chief Collection on there right now. And that's because iOS is limiting them to just the one game. Now, we don't know if this is a true limitation or if it's just how they kind of are rolling it out. Because when they first rolled it out on Android, I know they had – it was Master Chief Collection, and it was just like a collection of four or five games. So it wasn't a lot to begin with. So my guess is they're going to do it in stages, roll it out, iron out the kinks, and then keep coming out with a larger library. But no, it's exciting because I honestly, I kind of was like, I wonder if Apple is just playing hardball and they're not going to let this happen at all.
But there you go.
They did. Yeah, it's there. So what's next? Mark, well, we started talking to you, so we might as well keep talking to you.
I've played a few games this week. My first one, because my nephews have been up, James was up last week, Liam's up this week, so we decided we'd do some co-op gaming, because I've not really done much proper co-op gaming. And we've both got Game Pass, so we both downloaded Wolfenstein Youngblood. This is one
Wolfenstein.
This is the one with the two sisters. We played that, and I won't expect too much because I've heard a lot of bad things about it. But I tell you something, we absolutely loved it. It was really good fun co-op. Really good fun. There's a few interesting mechanics with a co-op part. So you can sort of like boost each other by giving each other a thumbs up, and it's called a pep. So when I did it, you can select what you get. James had it so it gave him 25 extra health. I got it so I got 25 extra armor. And boy, did that come in handy when you fought some of the bosses, because the last boss fight is intense. But yeah, really good, cool story. There's a plot twist late on, which we both went, and we were both a bit shocked. Just really, really enjoyed it. The levels are quite good. The different areas you revisit, and it's a bit Metroidvania, because until you get, there's like three large weapons which you get as you progress through the story, and you use these weapons to open particular doors. So in the early stages of the game, you can't get to these areas. There's tons of collectibles. We only got about half the collectibles, and we did look everywhere because James is obsessed with getting collectibles. But really cool. The weapons are really fun. You can level up the weapons. You collect coins as you're going around and use the coins to upgrade your weapons. Like you put a new stock on it, a new receiver, a new scope and everything. It's really good fun. Graphically, okay. It's enhanced on the X, but James is on a normal Xbox and he said it looked pretty good. A bit cheesy, some of the lines in it. I don't think it's a proper Machine Games game like the original Wolfenstein's. I think it was another developer who had a lot of input in this, and you can tell it's not a full-on Machine Games one, but still very good. For Game Pass game, I think we must have spent 15, 20 hours on it, and we had a lot of fun from start to finish. A lot of laughs, there's a lot of gore in it. One of the weapons, when you shoot them, it just like obliterates the human bodies. There's some robotic enemies, which are quite hard to take down, so a lot of fun. Yeah. Highly recommend it.
You know, I think, and I don't want to make this a big Game Pass conversation, but one of the things I love about Game Pass is I think it really encourages you to try games you really probably would not normally try.
Yeah. Banana.
Yeah.
Banana. Or you wouldn't have wait, you know, you wouldn't have spent the money to buy them, so you wouldn't have ended up playing them. But now I because like they're part of Game Pass. And yeah, bananas.
I heard a lot of people say that this wasn't very good single player because the AI, if you don't play co-op, the AI controls one of his sisters. So Scott Stubby saying he loved it. Yeah. Scott Stubby played it single. So let us know how that went, Andrew, because like I said, the co-op experience was superb. So interesting to know what it was like solo.
Yeah. All right. Well, what else, Mark? What else?
Like I've mentioned over the past couple of weeks, I finished now all the missions in Horizon Zero Dawn, the Frozen Wilds DLC. So as well as the main mission, I've done every single side mission. I've done everything in it. Got to the max level of 60. Got quite a few trophies on stuff. This game is so good. I heard Stu on the Veteran Gamers. I'm catching up on their episodes. And Stu was saying that he didn't particularly like this game. And I don't know, Bongo didn't get on with it because I learnt Bongo it. I love this game. Horizon Zero Dawn.
Horizon?
Yeah.
It was good and all, and I respect it. I respected her.
Yeah.
I respected Alloy.
Yeah.
But it just, I don't know, it was just,
The Frozen Wilds, it gives you some new costumes, which give you some extra perks. There's new modifications, such as new weapons, which are really cool. And you can upgrade them as well as the story progresses. There's new enemies, and the story is just superb as per the original game. Just a very well done piece of DLC, and a lot of hours worth of DLC, so it's very good value for money. I got the DLC in a sale, so I think I paid something like £8 for it. Very good value. So, yeah, very well worth it. If you've got the original game, which I don't know if it's been on PS Plus yet, I don't think this one has it, Kim?
I don't believe so.
No, but yeah, it's definitely worth picking up in a sale of this game. Absolutely loved it. So yeah, very well done. Guerrilla Games pulled it out of the bag again.
Excellent.
I mean, getting back into old faithful PUBG. I had a few games of PUBG this past week. Not played it for absolutely ages. So the new map, I've never played the new map, Kraken, is it? Is that how you say it?
Kraken.
Yeah.
Kraken.
So we've been mainly playing that new map all the time, and it's a small map, so there's no vehicles, because it's that small, which is quite cool.
It's also a smaller player count.
I didn't know at first. It's only 64 players max.
Yeah.
So the games are over a bit quicker, so there's a lot more sort of involvement and fun. There's no explosives apart from remote C4, so it's like a C4 with a mobile phone on. You throw it, you hear this musical and it blows up. The main use of that is buildings. There's quite a lot of buildings on this which are destructible, and some you can't get into without the C4. It's completely bricked up, and you'll see patches on the wall where you know you can use this, and there's usually extra sort of like decent loot in them. So yeah, I've got a few new weapon skins with a new season, because there's a new season pass with this. And of course, well, I had some coins left over, so of course I picked up the season pass again, because I love this game. I've got to reward the developers, because they're still supporting it after all these years. It's only 1,000 coins, which is about £5. But I already had the coins anyway, so yeah, really cool. Loved it. And we had some really good games. Last night, 3 chicken dinners out of about 7 games. Absolutely brilliant. And I kept tweeting Greg and messaging Greg. I kept sending him the screenshots because he couldn't make it, poor guy.
Thought you'd put on a bit of weight.
lots of chicken. Lots of chicken. Yeah, loving it.
Yeah, I was still suck, definitely though. Jealous.
Yeah.
Definitely jealous you guys playing last night. The funny thing was I ended up playing a solo match on, what's the old, the island map?
Erangel?
No, the smaller one.
Oh, Sandhawk. Yeah.
So get a map, you get a game in the Sandhawk, and I was waiting for Colin to get brought home on Friday. And so I'm playing, everything's going great, and I'm down to final 10, and I'm getting into the final ring, and of course Colin is getting dropped off, so I have to stop. So I'm like, well, I found a place to hide, And I'm like, I'm going to run out, get him. I'll come back and see if I'm alive. Well, you know, turns out the ring crossed over and I had the zone killed me.
Yeah.
But now PUBG just continues to be – there is not another game out there that fills the same itch that PUBG scratches for me. It is just – it's still a very unique experience and still highly fun, both solo and in squads. I had a blast. I ended up jumping on late for a couple matches with your son and your nephews and you, obviously, for just a little bit on Friday. And then, of course, everybody – you know, by the time I got on, everybody was jumping off. So it was like, all right,
well. The time zone suck.
Yeah. But no, PUBG still strong.
I don't know if it's a new feature with this last update, but we found something out. Like they've had the ping system for a little bit now, but they've updated the ping system a little bit. So now if you double click the right stick, which is where the paddles come in, because you have to do it pretty quick, you can now request ammo and meds and stuff. So Liam was short on ammo, and I said, "Oh, I've got loads of 7.62. I'll drop you some." He says, "No, don't drop it. Watch this," and then. The little like message came up on screen. Liam, well, his game attack came up and it says, "I need ammo, 7.62 ammo." And I get a prompt on my screen saying, "Give so and so 30 7.62." All I had to do was press X. My character threw the ammo to his character, who caught it immediately into his inventory. No dropping it, no picking it up. Fantastic idea. So it saves so much time and messing about. Looking around and trying to pick it up and going in your inventory and dropping it. Absolutely love that.
I've also noticed attachments, when you pick them up now, as long as they fit on the weapon you're holding, they will automatically go onto it.
And if you've already got an attachment on there, if you hold the X button, you can replace that attachment. So if you've got a red dot and you want to put a 4x scope on, you can do that. So it's just something about, like you say, Greg, there's something about this game. It's still got a bit of jank to it. But I just love it. It's just so good. Much fun. Every game is different. And like, were it Thursday night? Thursday night or Friday night. We were having a bad run of games and we were all getting a bit pissed off with it. So we called it a night early on Thursday. But like Friday and Saturday, we were just getting loads of wins, top 10 places. And it's just so good. Every game is different.
That is the case. It is, every game plays differently. And I like that the developer, as you noted, they continue to support it, not just with DLC stuff that you can buy, but with actual maps, with actual updates.
Yeah.
You know, the Kraken map, it's worth noting that there's a purple zone on that map, whereas the red zone used to be bombardments and you had to be careful. You had to go inside. The purple zone actually destroys buildings.
Yeah,
so you can't get
out of the buildings. The target mortars target the buildings.
Dead.
Yeah.
And so they level the buildings. The buildings actually will be completely destroyed. And so it's shaping up nicely. They're redoing Miramar, I believe.
Yep.
So Miramar is going to be offline for quite a while. So you're not going to be able to play that map, but they're going to, I think, give it the Kraken treatment. So that'll be kind of cool.
Give it the Kraken treatment?
Give it the Kraken treatment. PUBG. We won't go on any more about that. Let's shift gears. We'll talk about my games. Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Still playing through the single player. That is a massive game.
Game of the year last year.
I did not realize how long this game was going to be.
I've got like 90-odd hours in it now. Yeah.
And I've been solely doing main mission story stuff, but it's still just almost a slog. I will say there's a couple times where I'm just like, okay, kind of get on with it. But the story bits are being threaded in enough, and they're giving cutscene rewards kind of for the main missions when you're completing them. That and I like the acting so far.
Yeah.
So
some of it's a bit cheesy, but John Bernthal is top class in this. Have you done any of the like mini bosses yet, like Flycatcher and stuff?
I'm just getting ready to go to Flycatcher.
Cool.
I kind of was holding off. I wanted to be a little bit overpowered for him, and I think I'm at that point.
It's quite tough first time you do it, when you get to until you know how it all works and that. But you get some each time you take down one of the mini bosses, you get their weapon, and they're really cool. And you get the blueprint as well, so as you level up, you can remake it so it's not underpowered anymore. So that's another thing I love about that. A lot of games, you pick up a weapon, and then after a few levels when you've gone up, it's no good, is it? But with a blueprint, you can just craft a new one. So,
yeah. And also, you know, they're another developer that's been adding content into it, not just for paid DLC stuff. Last game to talk about, Batman Telltale. So yeah. the Telltale game, the Batman series, I finally started playing this. Our ginger friend, Pete Chin, you know, he thought it was just okay. I think that's because he's ginger. I'm quite liking it so far. I mean, it's a story-based game. There's not a lot of action to this game. So it is very much a game where you're going to sit back and you're going to play the role of Bruce Wayne and Batman. You're going to make the decisions on the different things that you say. A lot of political stuff happening right now. I just completed the first episode. So it was very intriguing how it felt much more political than I just kind of expected it to be more Batman action, and it was much more kind of on the Bruce Wayne side and kind of positioning yourself with different factions in Gotham. So anyway, so yeah, it's good. Highly enjoy it. What are you guys smiling at? Robin, I see you smiling.
It's also got a thing what you like saying, Greg. It's tail of a tape. The
tail
beast.
Of the tape.
Yeah. The beast. The
sorry, I'm sorry to go back. I don't want to go back to it again. I can't.
No, don't.
Yeah, I'm not going there. It's very funny. Anyway.
But again, what I do love about the speaking of tail of the tape. At the end of each episode of the Telltale games, they always compare what you've done to what everybody else did. Interesting to be able to see my choices, my decisions versus everybody else's.
99% of people saved his character. You killed him. You bastard.
Yeah. There were a lot of people that were I was surprised as many people decided there's an option to break a character's arm.
Ooh.
And most people decided not to. Mm. I was surprised by that. I actually decided not to as well. I decided to
really?
Be lenient for some dumb reason. Yeah. Surprise.
Hang on.
But
I'm too slow.
Really? Really?
Really? Really? Anyway, so yeah, Batman Telltale. I've been enjoying it. I can say it's a recommend. You know what? Yeah. If you like those kinds of games, for sure, play it if you haven't played it.
I'm still halfway through the bloody Game of Thrones one. There's just so many games
Game
to play.
Game of Thrones one. That one,
it's hard to get into, isn't it?
I think it's hard to get into it because Game of Thrones itself was so good.
Yeah, yeah.
And so just, you know, it was such a well-done series that you don't necessarily feel like you're missing a narrative story. Whereas some of these other games, like The Walking Dead and Batman for that.
There's a Borderlands one as well. I've still got the Borderlands one to play, and I've heard a lot of people say that's their favorite.
Yeah.
Wolf Among Us is my favorite so far.
Wolf Among Us to me is
mine
still
too.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely.
And then the first Walking Dead.
Borderlands.
Mm. Yeah.
Borderlands.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Let's dive into, I guess, our quiz.
So. Quiz time. So this is not stolen from the iconic BBC quiz show. No copyrights, no patent spending. All you need to do is name the blank. I will give you a popular character from a video game. I'm going to quote that character said. But one of the words will be blanked out. And you have to tell me what that word is. Now, you do have multiple choice to make it a bit easier. So you just need to WhatsApp me what you think that word is. And our first one, let me get my quiz sheet up. I'm prepared as always.
Just making sure I'm up on WhatsApp as well.
Yeah, that noise to our viewers is the WhatsApp notification is going off, so apologies, but yeah, it's a nightmare to mute everyone and then unmute everyone. So, question one is from Ulysses in Fallout New Vegas, and he says, who are you? That do not know your blank. Who are you that do not know your blank? Is that A, neighbour, B, allies, C, history, or D, gender? A, neighbour, B, allies, C, history, or D, gender? Could you try again? Right, so I've got an answer from Greg, from Kim, From Robin. So Robin says history. Greg says gender. That was my joke option.
I know.
And C has put history. And we have a winner. One person has got it correct.
It has to be Kim.
Yeah, right. I'm prepared. I'm getting my pen and paper. It is Kim. Well done, Kim. It is history. So Kim gets 1 point.
I said history.
Sorry. Robin.
What?
Robin said history.
Oh, yeah. Robin said history.
And two.
It's confusing me because he didn't put A, B, or C. Yeah, so, yeah. Okay, I'll let you off, Robin. Yeah, Robin said history as well. So well done, guys. Greg, fail, gender.
I thought it might have been. I legitimately thought.
Gender's topical.
Vegas, they might have had a laugh with this one.
Yeah.
So maybe, just maybe, it was the joke option for once. I've never played New Vegas.
Fail.
So.
No, I haven't. No.
I haven't either. I just guessed.
So, yep. So, well done to Kim and Robin. Right, next one is... You love this one, Greg.
Not that I'm mourning, but I didn't want you to take it away from me. You know,
yeah, sorry,
Kim is the superstar. You
know,
she's there. Yeah, of course she got
I was
it.
Looking for the C.
And Robin.
Yeah.
Kim got it right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, nice tattoo. Yeah, thanks, Robin. So, this one is from one of my all-time favourite campaigns, Titanfall 2. And the character is BT7274. And he says simply, blank me. Blank me. So he's blank. A, trust. B, help. C, save. Or D, toss. Trust, help, save, or toss. Blank me.
Hmm.
Waiting for the answer. Right, I've got one from Greg, and Robin, and Kim, and they all say trust. Trust me. And you are all absolutely correct. Well done, everyone. That's the nice easy one.
That is the robot right there.
Yeah, yeah. And you've got the helmet as well behind you, the Titanfall helmet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah,
nobody about
with the aliens could multiplayer on that. I love
lifter
that.
From the,
nobody cares.
Move on.
Robin.
Move on. Right. Okay. right. And your final question is from we've had him before. He was one of my favourite characters in video games of all time. It's Ezio Auditore. And this time it's from Assassin's Creed 2, and he says, "Nothing is true. Everything is blank. Nothing is true." Everything is blank. Is that certain, permitted, forgotten, or fucked? Is everything certain, permitted, forgotten, or fucked?
Hmm.
Hmm. Nothing is true. Everything is blank. A, certain. B, permitted.
Again,
A, certain. B, permitted. C, forgotten. Or D, fucked. Nothing is true.
Okay,
Everything is blank.
I'm done. I'm in.
Right.
I'm in.
Right, okay.
I'm in.
All right. We've got two Fuck people saying day. Permitted and one saying forgotten. And I can reveal the answer is permitted. Well done, Robin and Greg.
Yay!
Wow, okay. Robin, 3 for 3. King has 2 points and Greg has 2 points.
I got 3.
Yeah.
So 3 plus 2, add 1, multiply it, take away 2. And that gets,
carry the 5.
Yeah.
It's
just
answer 9.
So well done, guys. You're scoring well. I need to set the multiple choice out, which is making it too easy.
I'm in the lead now.
I don't think so. Have you updated the latest Bobbin score?
I haven't, but somehow I don't think that's right.
Yeah, me neither.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't either.
And I don't know where it was before, neither.
But I know what this is. Yeah, I'll update.
So now it makes up 5. Okay, good. I have 5.
Yeah, Greg's in the lead with 7 and Kim with 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
None of you others are on the leaderboard yet because none of you others have been on the show. So get your asses on.
Exactly. Apart from,
I'll let Pete off because we did a 2-man show and we couldn't really do a quiz with 2 people. So.
Do we really need to let him off?
No, not really. He's ginger, isn't he?
Exactly.
He may be
exactly.
ginger, but we do love him. He's our ginger.
He is our ginger. All right, let's talk some news.
He's on next week as well. News.
No,
there we go.
Don't threaten us like that.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, so news. In fact, Robin, I'm going to kind of hand this one over to you. You pulled the first couple of news stories, so I'll have you talk about them.
Yeah, people are leaving. They're gone. Goodbye.
People are leaving. Yeah. But some big, big names.
Yeah. Some big names. So a co-founder of the studio behind Grand Theft Auto, which is, of course, Rockstar, and Red Dead Redemption, he's leaving the company. And that's Dan Houser, a name that will be familiar to quite a lot of us. He's going, and he has been on sabbatical now. He's been away for almost a year. So he's kind of decided that he's not coming back. Now, does that mean that the next Grand Theft Auto game or whatever they're working on will fail? Well, you kind of think that if he's been away for that long, people have been sort of getting it in their head that he's gone. You know, and there'll be work processes in there that he set up and the other guys, the other brothers, had set up over the years. So, you know, I hope not. But, you know, if you... some of the stuff that goes on in the article, you know, that's crazy, like 100-hour crunch weeks and stuff like that. There's no way to live your life. And, you know, the guy isn't a 21-year-old or 23-year-old anymore. He's got millions in the bank. I can understand maybe not wanting to come back after tasting what real life is like outside of it. So good luck to you. I don't mind. I'm sure Grand Theft Auto will break new ground, as they always have.
It'll be fine. I mean, as you mentioned, other writers have been working on this series, you know, in his absence. I doubt he's leaving it in a state of shambles. It's probably, you know, well situated.
Well thought out. Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like it was a spur of the moment thing.
Either. Yeah. And I don't think there's maybe animosity there. Or if there was animosity, he stepped back before it got ugly.
Yep.
The other one, the guy that's leaving, is Gears of War studio head who left, went, and came back. Rod Ferguson.
Yeah, that was shocking.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was surprised to see this.
Mm, me too. Now he's leaving the Coalition and he's off to join Blizzard.
Blizzard!
And he's going to head up the Diablo, not game, but the Diablo franchise. So he's sort of going to be in charge of all of the Diablo assets, including, I believe there's a new mobile type game coming out in Diablo as well. So he's going to be sort of head of all of that kind of stuff.
So I heard an interesting spin on this, and the more I talk through it, the more it kind of makes sense to me. Rod Ferguson is well known as also kind of being a bit of a fixer. He's come into some trouble too. He came in, remember, he worked on BioShock. He came in and took over BioShock and kind of
right out of the clouds. Yeah.
He came into the Coalition when it was Black Tusk Studios and kind of got Gears 4 back on track. A lot of people have been speculating Diablo has been on some shaky ground of late. And I just wonder if he kind of felt like, look, the Coalition is really stabilized now. Gears 5 was a big success. And so maybe he was a little bit itchy to try something new and, you know, kind of do what he does, which is go in and fix things. There's another guy from Microsoft that left Microsoft to go to Blizzard. And his name is escaping me right now. But
Mike Ibarra?
Yes, Mike Ibarra. Yeah. And I'm wondering if Mike Ibarra maybe reached out to Rod and said, hey, Rod, we could use your help writing the ship over here.
And it's funny again, I mean, the internet is such a vicious, horrible place. So Blizzard has certain connections with China. I believe some of the investors back up there as well. And already Rod Ferguson and some of the guys that have went over to Blizzard are taking shit for it. So, you know, just how nasty the internet is. So, good luck to them both.
I wish them,
I love... I love Diablo, so I'm hoping for a good Diablo game. I love Gears, so good stuff, and the stuff that's coming in the future. And, who knows who owns what. Everything is owned by someone somewhere down the line that you're not going to agree with. So just get on one. Anyway.
That's very true. Very true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is another thing here. Maybe we can leave it to the end or do this now.
Yeah, why don't we leave it to the end, Robin? Let's leave it to the end. We'll cover the other news first, and then we'll
go back. You talk about the sunny stuff.
Yeah, so... there were some other big stories that came out over the past week. Well, a big rumor story, if you will, came out from Bloomberg. They released a very large piece talking about Sony struggling with PlayStation 5 prices. So basically, right now, there's been a lot of speculation about kind of what's going on with Sony. Nobody knows. They've been radio, you know, radio quiet. Well, Bloomberg published an article this past week, basically sourcing inside anonymous sources, stating that they have been struggling with the PlayStation 5 price, that the bomb, the bill of materials, is reaching up to $450. That's just the cost to make the box. So if that is the case, where can they come in at for an actual, you know, retail price? It's going to be higher than that unless they're going to try and eat that cost. Excuse me. And a lot of people don't think Sony is going to want to go that route. The other part of it is, don't forget that that $450 doesn't even include packaging. It doesn't include like the actual final shipping, marketing, all of that. So the PlayStation 5 right now is looking very expensive. There were some interesting quotes mm-hmm. from Sony executives in here from the previous month's earnings call. Sony Executive Chief Officer Kenichiro Yoshida said the business should be judged by number of active users, not the number of hardware units sold. Does that sound familiar to anybody?
Yeah, that's what Xbox has said, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Very interesting shift in kind of focus. And then Chief Financial Officer Hiroki Totoki, I don't know if I said that right, but he said, we must keep PlayStation 5 bill of materials under control, and we need to make the correct number of units in the initial production. So clearly price is very, they're under a lot of pressure. Mm.
Now, you could look at this as a different way to say, like, this is a double bluff sort of thing where they're, you know, everybody's expecting it to be expensive, and right. then they announce the price and they go, oh, it really? Okay. And right. they it is more expensive than people thought, but not as expensive as it could have been.
Right.
So, you know, there's maybe a way to combat this as well. So
could very well be.
Have they released what the box looks like yet? Because I've got PlayStation Germany's official YouTube up, and it's got the picture of a console. And if it looks like that, it looks really cool.
Well, they've got a dev kit. We've seen a dev kit. The dev kit looks like a giant V.
This is more like it's like a V and an X. It's got blue LEDs on the front with description on what's happening and that. It looks really cool.
I believe that is the dev kit. I believe that's the dev kit.
Right.
Which, I mean, that could resemble final product. You never know. I think that will be horrible in entertainment centers.
No, I don't know. This looks nice. I know which one you mean. I think this is different to that. This looks really
okay.
Cool.
Then I haven't seen the latest one.
It's got a cartridge slot on it as well. And it's got the SSD. So
if we're looking at Sony shares, just taking a quick snapshot over the last 5 years, sorry to get financial here, but they peaked in shares between 2018 2019, the highest it kind of ever been. And they really tanked in 2019 until the 29th of March, which was a turning point. And now, with the expectation of what's coming this year, and they are at their highest ever right now. So there is a big expectation about what is coming there. So, you know, in 5 years, they're the highest they've been. So it's kind of cool. Kind of cool. Sorry, I'm telling a lie, actually. Way back into the early 2000s when they were making TVs, and I know they still make TVs, but big volume, big, big volume. But now they're in, since 2003, they're higher than what they've ever been. Since the good old days. So it's just be interesting to watch what happens when all these announcements comes to boring things like share prices and stuff like that there. But it is important because
they would be a lot
more sensitive to overall cost than Microsoft would be, because Microsoft is such a big company compared to Sony.
Potentially. I mean, you know, I know, look, Microsoft is a bigger company, but I still don't think I think they have the same pressures on Xbox. So I don't think either company, and they're likely feeling a pinch of a lot of the hardware they're wanting to use in these devices is actually being sourced by other competitors, maybe not even in the gaming space. So I think their costs are going up because the parts they're trying to include in these new boxes are in high demand.
Yeah, yeah.
The factor in all of the China stuff going on right now, that might be driving some prices up too.
That could have an impact on supply and demand on components for both Microsoft and Sony. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But one of the other things that came out of this article, and this was, you know, the other part to it, was that Sony was holding back on announcing price, and that they were actually going to potentially be waiting to see what Microsoft did on price first before they announced their price. So again, a lot of this cat and mouse game, this chess pieces, everybody trying to not make the first move, but make a first move, come out strong, but not give away the farm. But this is the stuff we love. This is what makes new consoles exciting.
Yeah.
By the way, Mark, that is a fan-made PS5 trailer.
Right, yeah.
So that is
The YouTube channel says PlayStation DE, so it's not official. I didn't think it would be.
Yeah.
It looks cool, doesn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But there's no way also that box is costing anything under $600. All right. Let's talk about the biggest news of the week.
Panzer Dragoon!
Google announces five Stadia games. Now, this, of course, was, you know, they took a lot of heat in recent weeks over being really radio silent about what was going on with exclusive games and new games coming to the platform. And in fact, they came out with the statement of basically it's not up to us to announce games, but it's up to the developers to announce games for our platform, which on one hand, yeah, okay, you can make that argument. But when you are a new platform trying to attract new customers and get people excited about playing games on your new platform, your number one priority is about generating hype new and things. Excitement for new things. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, the new games that are coming to Google Stadia in the foreseeable future, it is Panzer Dragoon Remake.
You got to buy it just for that, Greg. You got to get one.
The Serious Sam Collection includes Serious Sam HD, the first encounter, Serious Sam HD, the second encounter, and Serious Sam 3 BFE, and all of their expansions.
I think I played them on PC 20 years ago.
It's cutting edge, man. It's the future, I tell you.
Probably the only game to me that actually looks like it might be worth anything, at least looking at, is Lost Words Beyond the Page. It's a story-driven 2D platformer that takes place inside a girl's diary.
Oh, it'll be dirty and disgusting then. Oh.
Then there's also a game called Stacks on Stacks, which is a 3D tower-building game. Final game, and this is I didn't even think this is a game. It's called Spitlings. Spitlings. It's a chaotic arcade multiplayer game.
I spit on your punk rock.
Okay.
So there you
classic
go.
Classic lineup. Wow. Brilliant lineup. How could you not want a... What's it called again? Stadia. Yes. How could you not want one?
All right. Okay, no. So that really was not the biggest news of the week. Actually, no. I think the biggest news of the week was the bombshell Jeff Keighley dropped. He announced he is not going to be hosting and producing this year's E3 show.
I didn't even know he did that. Wow. Yeah, I thought he just did that Game Awards thing at the end of the year.
No. The past few years, Jeff Keighley has hosted a E3 show. It was really more towards the PC side, to be honest. But you know, he would have guests on, like he would have Reggie come on, he'd have Phil Spencer come on. You know, they would talk about the games and what's going on in the industry. He's basically saying no. He made a statement. Now, I have my own take on this, so we'll talk about this in a minute. I'm going to read a statement real fast. A statement from Jeff Keighley. He posted this up on Twitter. For the past 25 years, I've attended every Electronic Entertainment Expo. Covering, hosting, and sharing E3 has always been a highlight of my year, not to mention a defining part of my career. I've debated about what to say about E3 2020. While I want to support the developers who will showcase their work, I also need to be open and honest with you, the fans, about precisely what to expect from me. I have made the difficult decision to decline to produce E3 Coliseum for the first time in 25 years. I will not be participating in E3. I look forward to supporting the industry in other ways and other events in the future. So, one, dagger to E3, right? Basically, he's saying, I'm declining. I'm not going to come to E3 because I don't think E3 is really worth the effort. That's his narrative. The underlying narrative of this is, if you remember correctly, Jeff Keighley also creates and produces and hosts the VGAs, his own proprietary show that he has nurtured. And for the first time in really its history, this year had a breakout show.
Yeah, yeah, it was quite decent, wasn't it? Yeah.
A breakout show that not only was decent, but also had, I would think, one of the biggest surprise industry moments with the Xbox Series X reveal in it.
Yeah.
And I just kind of think Jeff Keighley is his power move. He's saying, you know what, here's my chance to say VGA's more important than E3. And I think that's a narrative he's going to be pushing and continuing forward.
Yeah, yeah. Well, E3 is turning into the consumer show rather than the trade show. So
E3, they don't know what they want to be. Yeah, they don't know what they want to be. But conversely, the VGAs, while it's a show about announcements, it's also got its platform of it's an award show. Mm. So I think E3, if they would have been smart, they would have had an E3 awards dinner show, where they've televised that, they hand out awards, and they can make it grandiose.
Yeah, okay. Well, good luck to him. Yeah.
He's doing fine. I don't think he's hurting.
He's all right.
All right, Robin, let's get back to the 2010.
Okay, believe it or not, the world's gone mad. 10 years ago, there were games. 20 years ago, there were games, but 10 years ago are games that are in our near memories. And there are quite a few games which are now 10 years old this year. And I may surprise you with some of these names. Things like Bayonetta, January the 5th, 10 years ago. 10 years! That's just frightening.
And I still have
Darksiders.
I know, right?
Darksiders, really? Yeah.
Darksiders is now 10 years old. VVVVVVV, which has a certain place in my heart because of when I played it. It's a little crappy looking game.
8-bit pixel thing, yeah.
Mass Effect 2.
Such a good
game. January 26th, 10 years ago. And you know what? You could go and play Mass Effect 2 today and thoroughly enjoy it.
Yep, absolutely.
Do I have to?
Yeah.
What actually surprised me, though, is now that I realize the first Mass Effect was,
believe it or not,
what, 13 years ago?
Mm. Yeah.
That's, didn't like it either.
Yeah. Shut up.
Bioshock 2. Not 1. 2.
Wow.
God, 10 years ago.
A lot of people slated 2, but I love 2.
It's really
not
good.
Minerva's Den.
One of the best DLCs ever. Really, 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 really good. And again, you can play Bioshock or Bioshock 2. Again, you can do it. PlayStation this month.
PS Plus,
the refurbished ones. Really, if you've never played the Bioshock games, go and do it. You know. Jason. Heavy Rain, 10 years ago. Now, you could play it today, and that would look like shit. And it would play like shit.
You missed a really good one out, Robin. You missed Dante's Inferno.
Dante's Inferno?
I loved that game.
Yeah.
I never could finish that one, but I liked it.
I remember years ago, obviously 10 years ago, Parsnip was playing this, and he paused it while he was in the... There's Nine Rings of Hell, and he was in the one with the sex bit, and he paused it on that. And I remember the following day, someone posted on the forums when we used to have forums back in the day that Parsnip has been in the ring of sex hell for the last like 15 hours or something because he paused it in that bit. That just sticks in my mind about that game. But yeah, I love that game.
Another game which is 10 years old, which looked 10 years old when it came out, is Deadly Premonition. Also 10 years old. Just all this stuff is sort of in our lifetime. Mega Man 10, if you're into that as well. Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Oh, I loved that game.
We had lots of fun in there.
Those characters were awesome, weren't they?
It's a shame they never came back to that series.
Yeah, they're so good characters.
Was that the one with was the Vietnam expansion in it?
Yeah,
as well?
For multiplayer. Yeah, it was cool.
I love that. Really
Final Fantasy VIII. Okay.
Never played a Final Fantasy. Well, I played 7 a little bit on PS1 years ago, but I've downloaded 15 to try.
I watched a Final Fantasy movie. That was it.
Yeah.
Put you off for life.
That's about as far as I'm going to go. You know.
God of War 3, I take it that was the last one before the big revamp.
Oh, yeah. They did Ascension. No. They did Ascension after that.
Ascension.
Okay.
Well, that got slated.
Just Cause 2. Loved which was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Never really wanted to play and complete the game.
You just wanted to blow shit up. Yeah.
Sam and Max, The Devil's Playhouse.
Never played that.
That wasn't really one. And again, Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Conviction.
Oh, fantastic game.
In fact, I was playing this not so long ago. Yeah. Really good game.
This and Blacklist. Fantastic games.
I mean, in 10 years' time, and again, quite a lot of these games we're talking about now, like Splinter Cell, you go back, it is a wee bit clunky.
Yeah.
But, you know, in 10 years' time, when we come back to some of the games we're playing now, I think the clunkiness won't be there. Yeah. You know, I think games will last for longer now as playable things.
Well, is this the one where they introduced a mark and execute option?
Yes,
that was
that's
so
correct.
Cool. Yeah.
Yep.
Correct.
Yeah.
Alan Wake is also 10 years old this year. What a fantastic year 10 years was. Alan Wake, May the 18th.
I love that as much as what everyone else did.
And the reason, the thing that killed Alan Wake for sales was this boyo.
Oh, yeah.
Red Dead Redemption. 10 years old. Do you remember, you know, like riding that first horse up to that fort after you got off the train and getting those bad guys out? You know, that'll stay with you forever.
Yep.
This is, brilliant. Super Mario Galaxy 2, okay, fair enough. Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker.
Never played that one.
I played 4. Limbo.
Oh, Limbo's 10-year-old. Wow.
Yeah, good. It was in black and white too. Maybe, you know, being colored these days. StarCraft, Amnesia, The Dark Descent. Halo Reach, the game that we're talking about, is a good game. I'm going to play it very soon again.
No, I can't believe that's 10 years old.
Yeah, if I got the Halo Reach Special Edition Xbox 360 with my game, and I was on holiday in Gran Canaria at the time, and luckily Danny was at home to collect it when it came, and I was on holiday, and I was the only one wanting to get home because I wanted to get to his console and his game, and we're all on the sunbeds, and I'm thinking, is it home time yet? Yeah.
Holy crap, what a great year. Castlevania Lord of Shadows in October. And then this is one of my, I would say, in my top 20 games of all time, Enslaved Odyssey to the West.
Monkey.
Which was
I have
just,
that one.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Brilliant.
I loved playing that
thing. Fantastic game that was.
Yeah.
And who was it? It was the guy, who was it that played the guy who's done
Andy
Serkis. Andy Serkis, yes. Gollum, my precious.
Ninja Theory are now owned by Microsoft.
Yep.
These are the guys who did Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, another superb game.
Again, another game which is highly underrated, Vanquish.
And I still haven't played it. I've got it. I've got it on PS3, but I've not played it.
That's fantastic. Knee Slide, DJ
I've heard it's like a robot version of Gears of War.
Yeah, it's a Japanese version of Gears of War.
I've heard a lot of people praise it. I know Mike Chinle loved it.
And again, another big hitter, Fallout New Vegas, was October the 19th, 10 years ago.
Never played that one.
Super Meat Boy.
I've played that,
That does not seem like that's 10 years old. And the documentary that it spurned after that, it was about Super Meat Boy, and that would also mean, what do you call it, the 3D one that documentary was about.
Oh, yeah.
Weird and wonderful thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be about that time.
The Fez one.
Fez.
Yeah.
That would be about the
I can't
time.
Remember his name,
Jonathan Blow.
Yeah, that's him, yeah. And I'm still amazed to this day that Duke finished Super Meat Boy.
You would
not expect Duke to finish that sort of game, would you? But yeah, he did. So that's off to Duke.
Rock Band 3, which was probably the end of the plastic.
I think they did the Beatles after that, didn't they?
Well, they did the Beatles after that. Yeah. The Beatles, I think, was the last one.
Yeah, because I bought that secondhand. It's really good as well.
Yeah. And Dance Central, which I loved.
Yeah, I used to have that. Yeah, yeah. The old Kinect, man. Wow. Yeah.
Goodness me, what a good year. Donkey Kong.
Didn't 2010, turn? Wasn't that the year Kinect came out? I believe it was.
The Bane? Yeah, because yeah, all those games died. Yeah. Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Holy crap, what a year.
Yeah, superb game. In fact, that's probably one of the best. Yeah.
Wow, fantastic. So what a fantastic year it was 10 years ago. That's probably why we're all still gaming away there. So, a tip our hats to 10 years ago. Well done, 10 years ago.
Good job, 10 years ago. And
well done, well done.
We want to throw a tip of the hat to the chat. Kim, give a little love to those in the chat before we talk about the podcast poll we threw up there.
Indeed. Alrighty. Our chatter so far today has been Scott Stubby, Nerd Allegiance, Badge Gaming, another TTV viewer, Blood Lester, Commander Root Lurks, RCGC, and Teflon 12.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate everybody listening, of course, and watching live. And then we also threw out a Twitter poll today. I thought, you know what, we'll have a little fun with the community. Find out what are we excited for this year? Is it new hardware? Is it the next-gen games that are going to be coming with the new hardware? Or is it games already announced? Now, my personal thing was I figured new hardware would win out. And it did. 63% of the vote went to new hardware. Surprisingly, nothing was voted for in terms of next-gen games.
All
of the other votes went to games already announced.
Right. Well, I voted for hardware, so...
Yeah, I voted for hardware as well. I mean, that is where my excitement level is.
Yeah. I think the games now, because you can... Like Microsoft are promising, even if you still got the current gen, you're still going to be able to play the games, but just not as good quality as the new one. You can still play them, so... You don't have that anticipation of the games as much as the hardware, in my view.
True, and Cyberpunk technically is part of the games already announced.
Yeah.
That's going to have a lot of excitement around it. So, okay, I get it, I get it, but it was a little surprising to see nothing in the next-gen games.
Yeah.
But there we go. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but we don't really know too many games for next-gen yet, either.
I'm sure there's
it's kind of a small list.
Yeah, there'll be a few when the sleeves won't look for E3. When we announce the consoles in all the glory, I'm sure there'll be a few secrets they're going to share with us, hopefully. A few surprises.
You have to think there are unannounced projects we have not heard about yet.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, if not, I'll be deeply disappointed. So...
Yeah. Robin, where are you at this on this spectrum? Is it the hardware? Is it the games?
I'm looking for a hard one, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't we all?
There's little blue pills for that, Robin. Little blue pills.
Yeah, but you have to go into the chemist and ask for them. You have to, you can't pick them up. You can't pick them up. But then Judith would see them coming into the door. And yeah, I don't know. It's like when I was like 17 or 18, having to go into the chemist to buy prophylactics and having to pluck up the courage and you pick this up off the shelf and then you look this off the shelf.
Do you know what people think of that, Robin?
For ages.
Do you know what people think of that?
You had to ask for them.
What? You're a lion dog faced pony soldier.
You're a lion dog faced pony soldier.
I thought you'd like
that. Yep. You know what? The worst thing, and I don't know if this is the same for you guys, but one of the worst things about where the condoms were situated in our pharmacies. Of course, years ago. But they were always situated next to feminine products.
Yep.
So you couldn't just casually go over there and be like, you know, looking at like toothpaste and then just be like, you know, I'll quickly grab a condom. No. You had to go down the aisle with,
There you go. These kids don't know they're living. They can buy prophylactics anywhere. They can even go into flipping toilets and buy them in there.
Amazon.
Goodness me.
Amazon.
Yep.
Yep. Next Amazon. Day delivery.
Yep.
Same day delivery.
They come straight away. Yep.
All right. How about we shift the gears off of that? Let's talk about some new releases. Kim, what do we have to look forward to? Yes, we are. We are there finally. Thank God. What can we look forward to playing this week?
I don't know. I got to get there. Sorry. I was up on the 10 years of games and yada yada. Alrighty, your new releases for the 16th through the 22nd are Corruption 2029 for the PC on the 17th, Hunt Showdown for the PlayStation 4 on the 18th, Devil May Cry 3 Special Edition for the Switch on the 20th, and Tony Stewart's Sprint Car Racing for the PC on the 21st. And those are your new releases.
Awesome. Awesome. By the way, Corruption 2029, I hear it has a special DLC for Trump and Biden edition.
Nice.
Just for the political people. All right. Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Victory achieved.
Yeah. Victory achieved. Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Florida is drying up. The cars are still covered, but NASCAR racing will soon resume. So thank you guys for waiting. The podcast is finished. Victory achieved. When you finish games, all these games you buy or get free, and you get those lovely little credits come up to the end. What you do is we like to give you money. So you take a photograph of yourself looking like this. Yeah. And you tweet that off to @OC_podcast with the hashtag victory achieved. I will stick a chicken on your photograph and retweet it.
Or you might even give someone a tattoo.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give somebody a tattoo using the copyright symbol.
Three C's and a T. That's what it was, Mark. Yeah. Three C's
copyright
and a T.
Symbols. There's copyright symbols.
Yes.
Just, yeah, it depends what way you looked at them.
Right.
Yeah. And we give you money. £15, $20 for XBL, PSN, Steam, Stadia. It's the future. Whatever you want to do. And we draw that every quarter. So if you've never entered and you've finished a game over the last little while, go back and send me the photograph and I'll enter you in our draw. And this week, the people that finished games were Scott Stubby. He finished What Became of Edith Finch, a really, really nice. Good game.
Yeah, I loved
very,
that.
Really
yeah,
yeah. Yes.
Really interesting game. Some ginger twat, legit chinny, he finished Telltale's Batman. Mark Hannix finished, are we ready for it? Wolfenstein. Young Blood, hello Nicole. Mr. Miyagi, 1984, finished My Friend Pedro, and Martin C, 1984, I Would Question Your Parents, guys. He finished a little favorite of mine, Yoko's Island Express.
I liked what you did to his photograph as well.
Hmm.
With the photographer thing.
Yes.
Oh, yes, because his wife, he said they blamed his wife for the bad photograph. Yes. Mark Annex also finished Horizon Zero Dawn stuff, like DLC and stuff like that there. And Denok THQ finished Final Fantasy III. So well done, everybody. And your prizes start already, because for doing that, you get this.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. I don't know if one of these days we update that or not. I don't know.
Oh, it's a classic. It's a
I know,
classic.
It is a classic.
That's why they do all the victory achieves. They don't want the money. They just want you to squeeze your nuts so tight that you get that high-pitched.
Okay, yeah. I think we should ask the next winner if they would rather have me just do that live for them as opposed to getting the money. We'll see. We'll see. See that on demand too. All right. It's time. Let's lower the lights down a little. Oh, set goodness. The mood right.
They get prophylactics free in school.
They can.
Oh yeah.
Depends on what school you go to.
I can get them at the doctor's office for all day long, but I don't know what I'm going to do with them. So there you go.
They also teach. They also teach you about the sex, Robin. In school.
They do indeed.
The sex.
What? The sex.
Both that genders? 14, the teachers 14 about both genders?
Yeah. All right. Look, if you want to be part of this conversation, by all means, do so. Check us out every Sunday on Twitch, on Mixer, on YouTube, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 5 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. on Easter Island. And if you're waking up in Australia this morning and you're thinking, what should I do? You should have been tuning into the podcast because we're 7 a.m. there. So there you go. Find us. Come be part of it. It's fun. Mm-hmm. We promise. You can find the recording if you need to. It's on iTunes. It'll be on Stitcher. It'll be on Google Podcasts. It'll be out there. It'll be everywhere you could possibly pull a podcast from. You'll find us. We also have clubs and communities. We want to be a collaborative, fun group. And that's why we're going to make you listen to this sensual message.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us, podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
You're a lion dog face pony soldier.
I'm a bit late there, sorry. I'm pressing wrong key.
That's all right. Sure. But look,
the mood
is all over set. 40. Look, we've got the all the condoms have been purchased. We're ready. We can now, you know, this has been all the foreplay. And with that note, I'm going to pass it over to Kim.
Thanks. A shout out to our shatters. Step J's in there now, and Zane Kyber, and see if I can pronounce this without boggling it, but I probably will. Kisley Parishar, I think, is a new one that just popped up. So thanks for stopping by and keeping us chatting. A shout out to you guys. It's fun, like always. I don't know. Hopefully we all have a better week than last week, if for some of us it was an awful week. But, you know.
Agreed.
And hopefully it warms up soon. I'm getting tired of freezing my ass off. So how about you there, Mark?
Yeah, I want to shout out Robin for the wonderful retweet of the tattoo on my forehead. That was a good laugh. Thank you very much for that.
Sorry.
She's not.
I wasn't sure whether I went too far or not.
And a big shout out to John and Tess Wilson. Their little baby Sophia, who was only born around Christmas time. She's poorly again, bless her. So I hope she gets better, John, and we hope to speak to you soon. How about you, Robin?
Yeah. The chat's been fun tonight.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's been good. Thanks very much. I enjoyed it. I want to say hello to my friend pal Osi Subic, and I'll see you all out there. So have fun. Be good. Be nice. Kim and someone or no. Someone else. I was
Tactically,
take me to bed or lose me forever. Okay,
all right.
Greg,
on that
take us
note,
home.
I'm
wrap
going
us up.
To take. I'm going to take you home.
Well,
I'm
pack
gonna,
up your plates and your pots and your pans.
We're going to clean this up. We're going to wipe it down. We're gonna just wipe the slate clean. Definitely disinfecting. look, we really appreciate everybody being here. The chats, thank you all for making it a fun, lively show. Looking forward to another fun week. A better week than last week for many of us. If you want the warm weather, come out this way. I'm just saying. I got plenty of sunshine. I'm willing to share.
He's walking on sunshine.
I am. We love you guys. We love our community. Thank you all. Come back again next week. Tune in. There'll probably be a ginger. Don't treat him harshly. It's not his fault. He's born that way. That's it. We're done.
You're a lion dog face pony soldier.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.
I think it was disgraceful.